Well, I hope we're having a good day in the Lord today, and I pray that tonight's service would be good as well, and it would help us to be more motivated for the Lord. Please turn to Genesis chapter 2. We were here in Genesis chapter 2 this morning. Excuse me. We're just going to touch here briefly, and then we're going to go over to Romans chapter 5. And that's where we're going to spend the bulk of our time this evening. Verse 15 of Genesis chapter 2, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." This was God's commandment. This was the one restriction that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. This was it. The one rule that they could not do, and that was they could not eat of this one particular tree in the Garden of Eden. For as we all know, or we are probably painfully aware, Adam and Eve failed in this one rule that they had. They took of the fruit of that tree and ate of it. Now turn over to Romans chapter 5. The result of Adam and Eve eating of that fruit, particularly Adam, were detrimental and deadly. Notice what God said. He said, "The day that you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die." Couldn't be any more clearly deadly than that. The day they ate of that fruit, they died. And not only that, but death was passed on from them to us. Everyone born of Adam is born in sin, with a sinful nature. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, we're going to see a little bit of this, and then we're going to go, but then we're going to go on into chapter 6. We're going to actually cover all of chapter 6 as well. But I wanted to start in chapter 5, verse 18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Here in Romans, there's a comparison drawn between Adam and Christ. Christ, through his obedience and his righteousness, he's made many righteous. Those who accept him are made righteous in him. Much like Adam, who sinned, brought death, and all his descendants were sinners because of his sin, Christ offers salvation. You've heard me say many times that Jesus stood as our representative, man's representative. He stood as man's representative in the garden and on the cross. Much like Adam stood as our representative in the Garden of Eden. He represented us all, and he failed. By his offense, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. But by the righteousness of Christ, the free gift came to all men unto justification of life. When I was saved by grace, the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? That's how we're saved. That's how salvation takes place. It's by grace through faith. I have the grace because of Christ. God can show grace. He could give me that grace because of Christ meeting his requirements for judgment. I was saved. And I needed to be saved because I was a sinner. I was born to Adam. Notice in verse 20, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." There have been many who have asked, well, why did God give the law of Moses? Why did he give the law to Israel? It was so they could see their own condition. So they could see the condition that they in their standing before the Lord as a sinner in need of grace, in need of salvation. That's why we take the gospel. That's why we lift up Christ, so that we can see our own condition and see, and people can see their condition and their need for a Savior. That's why we lift up Christ. That's why we don't go about saying, oh, it's okay. You're all right, Larry. Everything you've done is just fine. You know what? You should probably also just say you accept Jesus. That would do to Larry no good. Because you see, Larry, just like everyone else, has needed to see their own condition. Because if you don't understand your own condition, you will not feel a desire or a need to change your condition. The Old Testament law, the tabernacle. You know what the tabernacle looked like when you looked at it? A big old white tent. They were walls that were this tall. You couldn't see over the walls. They were just white. And I've brought this up before, and I think I might do it again here. Is this white? Are those walls white? They look white, don't they? Are the walls white? They're not, are they? When you just look at them, wow, that's white, right? But when you put something that's whiter up against it, look how dark the wall looks. Looks almost dirty, doesn't it? The need for man to see is that there's white, the righteousness of Christ. And no matter how good I might be, it always ends up being tinted. No matter how good I think I might be, it's never good enough. It's never white. But Jesus was totally white. But you see, that's what the law was for. It was so that they would see their sinfulness. They would see that they were sinners and see that they needed a Savior. Many talk about how much bloodshed there was under the law. I'll tell you, there was a lot of bloodshed under the law. There was a lot of offerings that took place under the law, more than just the once a year offering. There were daily offerings, shedding of blood for sacrifices. Some have said, well, that's cruel. Could you imagine? Could you imagine, is it FEMA? Is FEMA the animal group, animal activist group? PETA, thank you. FEMA's the governmental agency that takes care of problems, right? PETA. Could you imagine someone from PETA being a part of the worshiping under the Old Testament, where they brought sacrifices daily to the tabernacle, and the priests would sit there and execute the sacrifice, shed the blood of that sacrifice, and then burn the body or do whatever else they needed to do that God had commanded to them. There have been a lot of people who say that's just cruel. God is so cruel to require that. But you see, the point was not those animals. The point was that so that you and I could see, and the Israelite who brought the offering could see that I need a sacrifice. I need blood to be shed for me, for my sins. That's what the law was about. He said the law came so that the offense, or the law entered that the offense might abound, so that people could see their own condition. That's what the law was for. The reason they needed to see their condition was so that they could see their need for Christ, that Messiah who would come and execute the perfect offering. He says here that sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The beauty of the picture is this. The beauty of the story is we are all sinners. That's evident. We are all sinners. But God's grace abounded to cover my sins through Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross. That's the beauty of the picture, see. They saw how awful I was in the eyes of the Lord, and that I needed a Savior. I needed someone to stand up in my stead. His grace offered that righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now it goes on in chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 20, but going back to verse 20, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So he's asking them, so should I sin more so that I can enjoy more of God's grace? Well, he said, sin, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So if I want more grace, should I sin more so I can get more grace from God? That was his question in verse 1. That shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And two words that should answer it for all time, for everyone, for anyone, God forbid. That's as no as you can get no. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you're dead to something, how can you live in that something? It's impossible. If you're dead to sin, then you should not live in sin. Sin should not have a prevalent part of my life. Yes, we are sinful. We still have sin present in our body, but it should not be my life because I'm dead to it. It's gone. It should be gone. I'm dead to sin. How can I expect to live in sin? Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. The old man is crucified with him that we should not serve sin. When I was lost, I served sin. I was a servant to sin. It controlled my life, controlled every aspect. Sin had that much of a part of my life. It had a hold on me. But when I accepted Christ, I became alive, alive unto God, born again, alive unto God, but dead to sin. Because you see, God and sin cannot coincide. God cannot be, God is incompatible with sin. That's why he had to send Jesus. See, if God could be compatible with sin, he could have just said, okay, I'm just going to forgive everybody and everybody come on in. Forget about what you've done, you know. Wait, you're bad. You're not good enough. You need to stay there. And, you know, if God were compatible with sin, that would have been acceptable. But he's not. He is a righteous God, and he demands judgment for sin. When Adam and Eve took of the fruit in the Garden of Eden, you know what? They died, just like God said. He didn't come along and say, okay, Adam, I'm giving you one more shot. Here's another chance. Okay, don't blow this one. No. He said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That's how serious sin is to God. And it is so serious that for me to have his righteousness, Jesus had to come, go to the cross, and die there in my place so that I could have the righteousness of Christ and so that I could be free from sin. That's what Jesus did. So not only did he give me new birth, not only did he give me life, but he caused me to be dead to sin. So that now I no longer have to serve sin. Sin is no longer, I don't have to be under the servitude of sin. It is no longer has that control over me because Jesus set me free from that. So I don't have to do those things. I don't have to do them. We may think, well, I just had to do that. No, you didn't. If you're a child of God, you can say, no, I don't want to do that. I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to serve sin anymore in my life. See, that's what Jesus has given us. He's given us not only new life, but he's also given us freedom. He told them, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's pretty silly, and I've used this example before, and I want to use it again tonight. So if you've heard it before, forgive me, and especially if I mess it up. Picture this. You're in a prison, dark prison, locked away, no way out. Then someone comes along and opens the door. Let's go further than that. They knock down the walls, knock down the whole prison. Would any of us stay put? Would you want to stay there? No, you'd want to leave, right? If you had freedom to leave, you'd leave. Let's say the judge came down and said, you're free to go. You're no longer required to stay here. How silly would it be for me to stay in the prison if I've got the freedom to leave? We would look at that person and say, you know what? You're crazy. Why don't you leave? Get out of here. You're free. Leave. Some birds. Have you ever been to the zoo and seen the birds that and they've got no top on the cage, but the birds stay in there? A lot of times it's from training, where they've been trained that there's a lid on this cage, but then, so they just quit trying. They just give up. And then you can take the lid off and they won't go anywhere because they've already given up. I'm afraid sometimes as believers, we sometimes give up and we choose to stay in bondage to sin even though Christ has set us free from that sin. We don't have to serve sin. It's not a requirement for me to serve sin. Matter of fact, the requirement, the instruction of God is to be righteous in Him because He has given me that privilege and that right or the ability to be righteous in Him. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You notice what this says here to me? We've got a choice. I have a choice on what I'm going to do, whether I'm going to serve God or allow sin to control my life. But I cannot do both. If I'm saying I'm serving God, but sin's controlling my life, I'm lying. Because God will accept nothing less than all that we have. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion or domain over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Again, two words. It says, because we're not under the law, should we just live like we want to? Live in sin? Just because the law is taken out of the way? No. It says, God forbid. And if I find my place here, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. But I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We often use verse 23 there, that last verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We use that when we're talking to someone about their salvation need. But you notice the context here? He's already talking to people who are saved. And he's talking about the wages of sin. The wages are something that you earn. The result of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You choose which one you want. Do you want life or do you want death? Sin brings death. The Lord brings life. So what's your choice? I've seen the things on the bumper stickers that say, choose life. They're talking about... Yeah, I think it's primarily focused towards abortion, the atrocities of abortion, which are absolutely despicable. But I want to take it a little bit further. Do I choose death or choose life in my life? Am I going to live bound to sin, which the wages of that sin is death? Or do I live bound to righteousness, which leads to life? Jesus gave me eternal life when he saved me once and for all. But you see, if I serve sin in this life while I'm living here, sin brings death. That's the short of it. Sin brings death. Living with Christ, living in righteousness, serving righteousness, the end of that is life. And Jesus said, I've come that they have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to have life. We can't have life if we're living in sin. It's not the life He wants for us. He wants us to have life abundant in Him. To do that, I cannot live bound to sin. Sin cannot have that control over me. I'm going to serve one or the other. Can't serve both. I ask you tonight, make your decision. Are you going to serve the Lord or are you going to serve sin?